Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Is there a move in your future? Well, most of us don't move very often, and so as a result, we may be unprepared for the things that we need to deal with, such as finding a mover, the questions asked, all of those issues. Well, we're going to give you some answers. My guest is Scott Michael. He is the president and CEO of American Moving and Storage Association. Scott, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is a big thing because we don't move very often.
Right.
We don't know where to begin. It's really kind of scary. And plus the fact if you're moving out of your area, you're going into a whole new life. So let's help people figure out how to get there. And certainly in the Washington area, we see a lot of moving, whether it's an administration change or businesses move, something has been sold or whatever. So consequently, where would you start? If you were getting ready to move, what's the first thing you'd do besides calling up your office and saying, find me a mover?
Yeah, the best place to do is to do some research, talk to friends and neighbors to see who they've used, to see if they can recommend anyone. Our website, our moving.org website, has a lot of good consumer information, tips, suggestions on ways to go, and also can help you find a professional mover in your area.
Okay, and that is very important to do research. Check them out. Do you have any kind of an evaluation of movers on your website? Do you indicate whether or not you've gotten complaints? I know these are your industry association members, so that might be a delicate subject, but how do you go about checking out a mover?
We screen all the companies that want to become members of the association. We make sure they're licensed. We look at their complaint history, look at the issues that may have come up with that company, and check them out before we let them become members. And then we also do an annual screening of all of our members each year to make sure they're continuing to live up to our standards.
Does the government offer a website that evaluates movers? Is there any such thing?
The protectyourmove.gov website is a DOT website that collects the complaint information on federally regulated movers and has information and tips as well. So that's another good resource.
Before we went on the air, you mentioned the fact that, you know, there's two different kinds of moves. There's local moves, and then there's moves where you're crossing a state line. And I guess different rules pertain to each of those types of moves. Is that correct?
Exactly. The interstate moves are covered by the federal government, and you have to follow DOT rules and comply with all of the regulations of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. If you're moving just locally in your community, then it's regulated by the state or the jurisdiction.
And those complaints would not be necessarily in the government database. So that's where people will want to go to their consumer affairs offices and whatnot to find out about the movers. Would that be correct?
The complaints might not make it into the federal database
right.
if it's a local move, but you can get a sense of the company based on
sure.
what types of
sure.
issues may have arisen.
What part of the movers that are available to consumers? Do you have any idea how many of them do interstate moves and how many of them only do intra or within the area? Is it unusual for a mover to only do local moves, or is that smaller organizations?
There's a lot of movers that really focus on local moves because that's what most moves are. So
sure.
it's people moving from one house to another just down the street
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
in a different neighborhood. And so that's a lot of the business. And so there are a lot of companies that specialize, focus on just that area. As they grow larger, they tend to get more customers that want to move longer distances. And so they may do that.
Okay, now let's talk about some of the nitty-gritties, finding the mover. So we do some research. We've got to do due diligence. We've got to check websites. We've got to do research, ask friends, et cetera. Then what would you recommend that you get? Three different movers to come in and give you estimates. Let's suppose you're moving across the country. That's a big deal move. That's going to mean that's going to take a lot of time and all kinds of things. So let's just say that we're moving somewhere that's, you know, within over 1,000 miles away, perhaps. You're going to Florida, you're retiring, whatever. Okay, so you look at the distance. So you're going to find out, what, three companies that would take you? Would that be what you'd recommend?
We do recommend getting at least three estimates, whether you're moving across the street or across the country. It really is important in any event to make sure you're getting multiple estimates with reputable companies. Make sure they have a legitimate business location.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these places are just a website, and it doesn't list a place of business.
You don't know
until you, yes. There's not really anything there until you look it out, check them out, and see
okay,
what's
now,
going on.
Okay, now, when you move, So you have three companies coming to give you estimates. That can be very confusing in itself because there are different kinds of estimates, aren't there? You don't just get an estimate for a move. It can be binding. It can be non-binding. Is there an industry standard on this kind of thing?
There's a couple different options, and they may make sense for different people depending upon what you're looking for. The binding estimate is what it sounds like. It's an actual dollar amount that's how much the move is going to cost. A non-binding estimate is going to be based upon the weight and other factors that they would specify. And so you may find that the movers are adding a little something into the estimate if it's a binding estimate to make sure that they're protecting themselves. So you may get a little bit lower price if it's a non-binding, but there is that uncertainty of what the final outcome will be in terms of the overall cost.
I know at Call for Action, when we've gotten complaints as people have gotten it to their destination and the mover suddenly says, oops, it's going to be $4,000 more for this move because your furniture weighed more and et cetera, et cetera. And what we would call holding the furniture hostage until the consumer pays up. Now, first off, I don't think that's legal. But what does a consumer do with something like that happens to them?
It's certainly not legal on an interstate move. You have to live up to the binding estimate if that's the type of estimate mm-hmm. it is and not change that. And if it's a non-binding estimate, you can't attempt to collect more than 10% over that initial estimate
upon
delivery.
So that's protection. So that's really good to know.
Sure. There are protections on the interstate side of things. If you find yourself facing that type of situation, you can contact the folks at the government with Protect Your Move website and see if they can help out.
Mm-hmm.
And you may need to contact local authorities to try and get some assistance.
That's what we've been told.
Well,
call the police because sure. they're actually committing a crime by trying to hold your furniture.
It depends on the local area how receptive and helpful they will be. But it's certainly worth reaching out and seeing what assistance they can provide.
Okay. So we get our estimates and let's say we choose to go with a binding estimate. So we know that that's what it's going to cost us to move. Now, is there anything that is permitted to add on at the last minute? I mean, they come in and they look at your house. They tell you what it's going to cost, and that's your set amount. Is there anything that they can add on to that I might not know about?
There are sometimes things that can come up. For instance, the destination may have issues. You may not be able to access the destination home with a truck, and you have to do a shuttle
okay.
or a lawn carry or something
sure.
like that. So they should explain those types of potential charges to mm-hmm. you up front so you understand what could be out there. But
so that would mean, like, if I'm moving into an apartment building and it's in a city area where they may not be able to take the big moving van?
Or if you're out in the country and it's a winding road that you can't navigate
okay.
those turns.
Low-hanging
tree branches, there could be all kinds of issues. At the origin, you should be able to spot those when they come in and do the estimate. But at the destination, it's harder to predict.
It's harder. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Scott Michael. He's the president and CEO of the American Moving and Storage Association, and we're talking about moving. Yeah, it's a scary, scary thought. We don't move very often, but we're giving you some advice on how to help make it easier when you do have to move. It's like buying a car. We're not pros at doing these things, so we really need to do some work ahead of time before we make that move. So we've found a mover. Now we've got to look at where we are and where we're going. So the where we're going part is not going to be as apparent. So it's going to be up to the consumer to let the mover know if there are any issues and what kind of – well, now you can go online and look at it on a satellite. So
you can see a lot of things
yeah.
on a satellite map system, and you
right.
can pick
and
up a lot of those
you.
Issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're moving locally, the mover may be familiar with the area and would be able to predict that kind of stuff.
So sure, sure.
That does minimize the times that type of situation comes up.
Okay, now what are the things that we've had the consumer do their research? They've gotten the estimates. They've chosen a type of estimate that they want to deal with. If it's a non-binding estimate, you said that they cannot, if it's an interstate move, the estimate cannot be, the final cost cannot be more than 10% above the estimate.
They have to deliver the shipment and release it to you upon payment of that. They can bill you for any additional balance later and work out those
situations. Okay, but they cannot raise the price more than 10%.
and hold your shipment hostage and refuse
right.
to release.
Okay,
it.
Good. Okay, so now let's talk about when we get ready to move. What can homeowners do to make it? Well, first off, make it less expensive for themselves to move, because it's going to be an expensive proposition if you're going a long distance. What are some of the things that you can do as a homeowner? Well, you can certainly clean out your house, right?
Absolutely. The number of items that you have to move, the weight of the items is a mm-hmm. major factor in the cost of the move. You also can look at the time that you're moving and the timing. And if you have flexibility on that, mm-hmm. you may be able to move in a slower time of year when the movers are
okay.
perhaps a little hungrier for your business, maybe willing to cut you a better deal. The summer is when everybody wants to move. The last week of the month is when a lot of people are trying to move mm-hmm. because of their leases ending or the closing on their home.
I see.
So there's some busy times of the year
so
and the month.
So the second week of the month might be a good time. And doing it sometime other than summer when the kids are out of school.
Exactly. So some of those, if you can be flexible about some of those types of issues,
right.
you may be able to
if
get
you have
a better
choice.
Price. Sure.
If you have a choice. Okay. So we do those things. We clean out the house. We're getting rid of all the junk. And we all have junk. I think it multiplies. I'm convinced it does.
Absolutely.
And I open a closet and I think, where did that come from? Anyway, so cleaning it out. Now, when they arrive to pack, there's a big question of who does the packing. Do you pack? Do they pack? Or how do you go about that?
It depends on what your customer situation is. If they want to do some of the packing themselves, they may choose to do that. And certainly you can save some money on that by doing the packing yourself, save on all that labor and so forth. You do run the risk of potentially not doing it the right way and causing things to get broken mm-hmm. if you're not adequately protecting your items.
And if you pack it yourself, it's yours. You're responsible for what happens.
You're pretty much responsible for any kind of breakage that would occur based on the mm-hmm. type of packing that you have. If the box gets lost completely, then the mover would still be responsible for it.
But, right. But if it gets there and you've packed it and things are broken, then
the mover's going to say that's because of the improper packing. And
right.
So you're responsible.
Okay. So you have to make that choice. Now, there may be things you want to pack your clothes. You may want to pack that. Do they typically, let's say you have a chest of drawers filled with clothes, do they typically ask you to empty those drawers or do they move them as they are?
It's really going to depend on the mover and the size of the furniture.
So if it's a huge piece of furniture, don't count on it being...
They may want to get the stuff out of there so it's not too heavy because of the weight. So.
Right, right. Well, life's easier if it all arrives in the drawers, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's one less thing to repack
that's
it,
right.
at the back end of the job.
I remember when we moved, and it's been forever ago, one of the things I made sure was that all the boxes were marked as to what room they came from in my old house and where they were going in the new house. So that has to be some planning on the part of the consumer as well, because that saves you time and I suspect money and a lot of effort later, because you can get your boxes in the rooms where you want them. Is that recommended?
Absolutely. If you're doing your own packing, then you definitely want to label the boxes.
But even if you're not doing your own packing, and let's say it comes out of the one of the bedrooms, don't you want to mark where that's going and have them mark it that it goes into this bedroom? I even had a floor plan. I mean, I'm one of these people. I like to be organized.
Great.
I had a floor plan in my house, and I had every room marked, and all the boxes I had marked for room one, room two, room three, so on. That worked out very well. I mean, it didn't help me get them unpacked, but it
certainly gets them in the right room of the house and makes getting your home set up much easier mm-hmm. at the conclusion.
Just to mark
of the
everything.
Move.
The other thing, you can get movers that will unpack for you, right?
Absolutely. I think you'd want to talk to them ahead of time and make sure they understand that so they can plan
absolutely.
Their
That's going to be
people.
In the cost. I mean, it's going to make...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And
yeah.
some of them may want to do that the next day or down the road to arrange another crew, to a different crew to come in.
Somebody that might be local from where
sure.
you're moving.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. So we've gotten there. Now, the big question is, let's say I've got some items that are heirlooms that mean a great deal to me or may have some financial value. How do I protect them? Because there's a certain amount that you're going to be paid if a piece of furniture is damaged, right?
That's correct. The advice that we give people is if you have something that is incredibly sentimental value and it's small enough that you can transport it yourself, take it with you.
Put it in your car.
Yep. Just, your wedding album, if you've mm-hmm. got a, currency or mm-hmm. Gold bars or something, take that with you so that you don't have to worry about it and make sure that you know where it is. If you have something really large, like you said, or heirloom furniture that doesn't make sense, the mover is going to protect it. There are different liability levels of coverage that the mover is going to offer to you.
Okay.
We don't recommend that you take the minimum 60 cents a pound coverage because
that's not
going
to do much.
That doesn't cover you very much.
Right.
So in most cases, it does make sense to look at the higher coverage levels and see if one of those makes sense for you.
Okay. And it may be that I want higher coverage on some things, and then some things it may not matter at all, right? So you can be selective as to what items of furniture you want to get higher coverage on?
Normally the coverage is a blanket coverage.
Oh, I
that
see.
That would cover everything. So it typically is based on the weight of the entire shipment.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be covered up to $20,000, $30,000,
you know,
some sum of money overall for the entire shipment.
Okay.
The mover will often ask you to identify some of the high value items on a separate inventory so they can track the things that are most of interest and make sure that those definitely don't go astray in the move.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's an important thing. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Scott Michael. He's the president and CEO of the American Moving and Storage Association, and we're going to help you move. Well, you don't have to move, but if you are moving, or keep this in mind for future moves, because moving is a confusing time, and it's a little scary, and it can be emotional and everything else. So how do you make it easier? Well, being an educated consumer is a good start. What is your website, Scott, that people can go to find? You have a lot of information there. Where do they go?
Sure. The best place to go is our moving.org website. And that's www.moving.org. And we do have a lot of great consumer tips there, information to help you find a full-service professional mover in your area so that you can identify who you're dealing with, get some hints on how to start the process and how to find someone good to work with.
Now, suppose we get our stuff there and we arrive, and there's going to be a time frame within which this is going to be brought to your new home. Is that pretty specific when you're moving? I mean, in other words, I want to be in there by the end of next week. Can I specify that? Or how do you, when a mover picks up your furniture, do they want to take it immediately and drive across the country? Are they going to share the van with somebody else? What are the issues you need to think about in this move?
Yeah, if you're moving locally, it really is going to be the same day kind of system where you put it on the truck, drive to the destination, and unload it. But if you're moving any kind of distance, it is going to take some time to get there. And most of the time, the mover is going to use a giant 18-wheeler, and they're going to have more than just your items on the shipment.
I see.
And so the truck is going to make multiple stops. They're going to pick up somebody else's things, put them in a different part of the trailer, and take it to their place and try and arrange multiple trips going in a similar direction to make the most efficient use of the equipment. So they do tend to give you a spread of dates for when the service
will
be provided.
So it's going to be an estimate of time, but absolutely. There is a deadline somewhere there. They can't keep my furniture for 2 months, right?
Well, they can't keep it forever, and they don't want to keep it forever because they want to put that equipment to use for someone else's move.
Sure.
So there is some point of trying to accomplish that. The mover is going to give you some information about what's available, and that's really a case-by-case basis depending upon the situation. So you need to ask questions about what the delivery time frame is and what it looks like.
All right. Now, how important is it once the furniture is moved into your house, all your belongings are brought into your new home, that you check everything right then and there? Because you're asked to sign a form saying that it's all been delivered, but how do you know? And how do you know if that furniture leg has suddenly been knocked off and set back on there, but it's going to fall over when you touch it? I'm not disparaging the movers, Scott. I'm just saying it happens.
Things happen when you move pieces of furniture. They don't always come through.
So what do you do once you get everything to your house?
You want to check everything out as quickly as you possibly can. The longer the delay, the more likely it is that the mover is going to argue that damage happened after they moved it in.
Okay, but it's not reasonable to expect me to be able to check everything the day the stuff is brought to my house, is it?
It's not reasonable to check the condition of every single item immediately.
Right.
And obviously, if you've got stuff in boxes,
you're not going to know.
So
right.
There could be concealed damage. But
if you
report 3 weeks later that your refrigerator didn't make it, people are going to question, why didn't you
notice that
earlier?
Why didn't you report it through? Yes, exactly.
And, you know, so it depends upon the condition, the specific situation. And mm-hmm. if it's a huge gash in the front of something, that's different than something that's perhaps
hidden. What are the kinds of complaints that you all hear?
We get a lot of different types of complaints. There's always concerns about disputes over pricing, whether the pricing is reasonable or got changed dramatically, about damage to the items. Everybody would hope that their things can get delivered in one piece without any damage, but sometimes things go wrong. And we also hear complaints about a situation where they didn't get the type of move they were expecting. And there's some companies more and more out there that are trying to do a less than full service move and sort of pass it off as a real move. And so
What do you mean by that?
The consumer may think they're getting a full professional move, but it's really just someone dropping off a container in front of their house, and then the customer has to load it themselves or hire somebody else to do the loading. Then they're hiring somebody else to drive it to the destination.
So you need to make certain. So should it all be in writing? Should you have it all in writing as to exactly what's going to happen?
Absolutely. We think having things in writing is very important. And ask questions. Make sure you understand what's involved mm-hmm. in the move, what type of a service they're offering.
There are lots of choices. Now, what have I missed? There's got to be things out there that we haven't talked about for the consumer.
The important thing is really just to look at the companies, research who you're dealing with. Try and make sure they have an address. If it's someone local in your community, which we strongly encourage you to deal with a local mover in your area, drive by their facility and make sure it actually exists and that there are trucks there.
They've got trucks that look like they're not going to fall down when
exactly.
they drive around the block.
Do what you can to check out the company and make sure that it really exists and is a legitimate professional mover.
Now, when they do it based on an estimated move, that's based on the weight, right?
Right.
What do they do? How can I be sure that when that truck is weighed with my furniture, that it's only my furniture that's in there and not another load as well?
Well, they're going to take a empty weight of the truck and before they come to the house, and then they'll load everything on and then go and get a full weight of the truck and take the difference between those.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may be someone else's furniture already on there.
But they'll deduct
at the beginning,
that.
So it should be deducted. You are entitled, if that's a concern, to mm-hmm. go and observe the weighing yourself to watch how it's happening, and you can also ask for a reweigh at destination at delivery if you mm-hmm. suspect that the weight is out of line with what mm-hmm. you thought it should be. They can do a reweigh at the other end as they're unloading it.
Well, you've picked out, we only got a couple of minutes here, but you sure. all were, you had a recent conference and you were giving out some awards to a couple of companies that you thought were excellent in your industry.
That's
Tell
right.
us about that.
We do an annual awards program and we give awards to drivers of the year. And we also recognize some, our independent mover of the year, our agent of the year, our supplier of the year, and our enterprise award winner, which is a small moving company each year.
Oh, I'm glad you recognize small companies as well.
Sure, sure. And it's a great opportunity to recognize great movers and talk about the wonderful work mm-hmm. that they do. We look at what they do in their communities and how they have done a lot of great things and done great opportunities for people.
Okay, so the website. You've got a lot of consumer information there.
Yes,
the website is
www.moving.org.
Moving.org. Okay. And that means you are a nonprofit organization.
Right.
I run a nonprofit organization, callforaction.org, so I know about all that.
I know about those .org, sure. There's a lot of them in D.C. area.
Yeah, that is so true. Well, thank you so much, because I think you've really helped. You know, we don't do this often, and we need to be better prepared. Where do we start? It's a little awesome thing. We're changing our life. So anyway, folks, you've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Scott Michael. He's the president and CEO of American Moving and Storage Association, and the website is moving.org. You'll get some great consumer information there. I'm Shirley Rooker. If you want to reach me, contact me at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for being with us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.